So at this point in time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, and it's Lutz from Germany.
Yeah, my name is Lutz. I'm a grateful recovering addict from Germany. Thank you. And I'm glad that the room is not full right now and would have been too much for me. I won't give you too much information, but I looked it up in my dictionary. I have three dictionaries on my iPhone, and the last days I looked one and another word up, which I might need here. And on the other hand, I got from information from NA. My sponsor wrote me an SMS today. He got clean. He's German, but he got clean almost 30 years ago in San Francisco. And a short message in German, one sentence in English, let go, let God. But anyway, I looked one word up, digestion. I won't give you too much information, but my digestion works very proper today. And I'm really nervous. I looked up a few words. In German, there was a trend the last years in NA. A lot of people right kind of concept. Maybe because they won't do it right, I don't know. I try really to let go. Here, it's not my language. It's different. I'm different. You all are different. And this is what I wrote down. I'm going to read it and then I'm get rid of it. One thing is Heulsuse. It's a German word. It means crybaby. I'm a crybaby. So when I was sitting there, I almost started. So don't worry. In Germany, I shared a few times on national level. This is normal as it can be for me, but here it's a bit different. Approach. What approach I have to this topic. This was a word I looked up. To fail. Patience. Forgive. Disease, transmitting, receiving, I know what it is. And the topic, what I would like to share about transmitting and receiving, I got a mail from the WSO, I guess. I even didn't know there was a name. We invited to share the workshop. And I didn't know how they selected me, whatever. And yesterday or the day before, I heard a guy, they sent CDs here in, and they get elected, but with the Germans it doesn't work, because a German CD no one would understand here, so I don't know why I'm standing here. I filled out a form years ago at the internet. My first day clean was in psychiatry, 24th January 1990. This might play a role, and I did a bit service in this time, so here I am. And you got to listen. And, and I got this mail, transmitting and receiving. I'm kind of social worker in Germany, and so I studied this stuff. And immediately there was something, communication theory. This sounds like communication theory if to me. And I thought we share experience, strength, and hope, and transmitting, receiving, and Google is your friend. 2 minutes later, I stopped. And I answered the email, and I thought short a bit about it, and it has to do, it sounds a bit like giving and receiving. It is on our medallions, I think, and you can read it in our literature. We give information, we give something, and we get something, and it's almost the same. And the guy responded, oh, you solved it very quickly. If that is your approach, it's okay. Later on, I talked to my sponsor that I was invited to a workshop, and he said, oh, Lutz, you have to say something to this topic, depending on what is going on at home. And after this call, I was a bit upset. Of course, he was right. And the truth hurts. Still, after 21 years, the truth hurts. Maybe I speak later about that. Maybe not. We will see. But there are a few areas about transmitting and receiving. And then I put this piece of paper away. It's about to myself. It's about to environment. It's about as a sponsor, as a sponsee, as a father, as a partner, as a citizen, as a human being. So here we go. And you can look it up if I was honest. So when I came to NA, I said it, I was in, came to psychiatry. I just, the plan was to party, and this didn't work. I figured it out a few years before I came to psychiatry that it didn't work, but I couldn't stop. To make it short, you know it as good as I know it, even better. I don't have this big war story, and it is not a topic. And in the end, I thought maybe an ambulant therapy one times a week would help, because I thought I had some psychological problems, problems with my family, stuff like this. And the doctor, I went to a few doctors, and one said, Mr. Bittner, I think first we get rid of the drugs, and when, then we have a look on what is still there. And there are a lot of voices speaking in my head. One voice, little voice, sounds like a good idea. The other's voice, I won't say the word, you, no, are you crazy? But I went. No? And she said, you go to a psychiatry, and this was my first day. I couldn't stop even in the night, and I had this piece of paper, went there, and so it all started. And of course, the 12th step is about transmitting and receiving. And yesterday we filled out this survey, is it, how you say it, the survey, and what was the most important thing to make you go to your first meeting was the question. And it was a 12th step of a member of NA. We were sent from the psychiatry to some events and whatever, and I showed up there what I was, who I was, and then a guy came to me after this and said he was going to a thing called Narcotics Anonymous, and if he talked a bit, and if he should meet 2 days later, maybe, at the train station. 4 years, I didn't have new contacts to other people. I have a short group of people. The other ones was idiots. And me was the idiot, of course, but anyway. And the first miracle happened. I went to this guy. I went to and waited there for a total stranger. He came, picked me up to my first NA meeting. And this was about transmitting and receiving. I had to be later, I heard a lot of words. I even bought in my first year a German dictionary, because a lot of these words we use, I didn't know. I have Abitur, what is Abitur here? High school, college, something like that. I have a degree to study, even I was using, but humility, open mindedness, okay, but humility and a lot of things, procrastination, no idea. So I bought a German dictionary, and never forget, my brother said, you need this in elementary school. yeah. Maybe this shows in what kind of evolution stage I was at this time, 20, at the end of 20, I was. Yeah. And where I was, 12 steps, so I had my first meeting. And then I figured out about the monkey on the shoulder and the cameras and the voices. And a few months, I tried it without a sponsor. And the old thoughts came back. The thoughts were the voices, what they were telling to me, I'm not worth it, I'm a piece of shit, the best thing would be I would be dead. Stuff like this. And for me, it seemed as if it felt like before I came to NA. I don't know if it's true, but I knew if I wouldn't do something, I would pick up again or in the end manage to kill myself. I don't know. So I had to ask someone. And he said to me, Lutz, it's just normal. The bottle is open. And bad spirits, not spirits, geist, ghost. The ghosts come out. And that happened to me. Ne? A lot of voices the whole day, bah. No one is looking at me, everyone is looking at me, only up high, ne? Like this. Ne? and none of these things were good. And one thing I reminded my first Bondi brother, no one likes me. And then he said, he put me to a shopping window. He turned me around. Look how you look around. When I got clean, I had short hair like this. I had more hair. Now it's because I have. They were colored blonde. I had every time sunglasses. These were the days where a thing like Walkman was around. Now the older ones know this thing. I had a Walkman. And I had to look through my Spion, we named it in Germany. I don't know, this little thing you look out your apartment door. Before I could go out when I was clean, I had to look through the door. I had to listen if there's someone on the outside. I was full of fear. And then I could go out with his Walkman, the sunglasses, the short hair. This is how I felt. But the funny thing is, later I heard when I made H&I in jail, I met a guy, I was around in the city where I lived, he was in fear for me. And me, on my inside, only walking around like this, but with his long short hairs, every time looking like this. I don't know, I'm not a heavyweight even then, but not don't mess with me, but better don't go in contact with this guy. And but on my inside, before I can go out, to listen, if even the neighbors, I wasn't fear for everything. And I sent something out completely different. And what did I get? Nothing, of course. Even today, it's kind of an exercise. Thank you. It's kind of exercise for me. If someone smiles at me spontaneously, to smile back. Minimum 50%, I just stay because I'm insecure, and I exercise it still to respond to what I get in an appropriate way. Yeah, and so to identify the disease, yesterday I heard it in a main meeting, the disease is talking. Not to identify with, sondern the disease, that's me, that's my disease. And so I got a lot of wrong information the whole day. Bah, 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 bah. And I need to get new ones, and I got them from NA. My first sponsor said, if you want to know what is NA about, read. I can share my experience. In the books you can read what is an A experience. And so I did. Yeah, and as a sponsee, if you communicate it with me, it's difficult. Patience, I looked it up again, patience is not one of my biggest assets. And so I almost think I know what you wanted. This is what is behind what you want to tell me. So I interrupt. And I don't get the message, the information, whatever. And so you really have to like me or to get longer in contact with me to find me sympathetic. Anyway, there are a few guys who like me. Even a few one came to support me, and I appreciate that, really. This is also a thing for information. Yeah, you have to speak the way that the people get you. Higher? Okay, higher. I want to take you higher. Yeah. Sly and the Family Stone. I know who knows this band. Yesterday, Trombone Shorty was a short sentence like Sly and the Family Stone. Anyway, transmitting and receiving. And two favorite words of an addict. I know. The other two, yes, but. That's me, okay? So this, in this way, it doesn't work, this transmitting and receiving thing. And still today, it's a challenge for me. A lot of people share here, I've changed. I think just for today, I've changed. Maybe right now, I've changed. But everything is there. Everything is there, is in me. The thief, the greedy boy, whatever, everything is there. And there's 15 years ago, I was one time in the U.S., I bought a sticker for a friend. He was a bit upset. Pain is optional was written on it. And everything is optional. Everything is optional. Everything for me. And so it's a gift to be free from whatever for me. And to come back to the topic, I give myself information. When I made my first six-step list, self-pity was one of the top five. I don't know. Fear was on first. And self-pity, one of the top five. And there was one guy, a few of you will know him, he's on every World Convention in Germany, one of our oldest members. He introduced himself every time as a grateful recovering addict in German, of course. Shit, is it? A few months later, or half a year, I don't know, when I wrote my first six-step list and figured out, and I realized through the first month and years how many informations comes by itself from the disease or wherever. I have to give myself other informations. So I started, like you say, bring your body in the meeting, the mind will follow. I started giving myself other. And since that day, I introduced myself as a grateful recovering addict. Even I weren't grateful in these days. Nothing. I was a crybaby in another sense. Today, it's a kind of task for me to feel empathy, compassion for people who go for months through the same thing and share. It was me. And my sponsor received a lot of transmitting from me, my first sponsor, a lot. There were no, I don't know how it's here in the US, there were no flats. Telephone flats. In Germany, you have flats for everything right now, but in these days, you paid per minute. And the dollar was high, I don't know, 300 D-mark it was in a month, and I was without employment, and I really, the 300 D-mark, I didn't call anyone else, because I was an anxious, isolated guy who thought he doesn't deserve anything, and I had a little trust to just this person, so I called him. And he heard, I think he heard the same shit it again and again. It was a help for me, of course. First time I felt acceptance, stuff like this. It worked with this grateful thing. In the evening, make this gratitude list. Still today, I go to my knees. And in the evening, and just a short inventory. For years, I made this tense. There is this pamphlet, Living the Program, maybe in English. And to give an image how weird I was, I ran around in the very few meetings that were in my area and picked up all the pamphlets. Of course, you've got to fill them out. And when they were run out, what to do now? And it needed really a time until I figured out you just can take the questions and the answers you write somewhere. It doesn't matter. And I'm still weird. I like also what I heard, and this is kind of serious. I liked also what I heard yesterday about if you have other problems, maybe you need other solutions. The thing about therapy, an example, I'm a 21-year clean, my life changed completely, but people are dying. A lot of things, life happens. I'm a human being. The first day, first or second year, I had a few physical problems. And I remember sitting on the toilet, it was like this, and say, now I'm clean and it still happens. And there was this other old timer in Germany, he said, you get a gift and you want something added to it. It doesn't work. The gift is just to be clean and to live life as it happens. And this is not always easy for me. And in the last 5 years, I got, an example, I got panic attacks. Claustrophobic, darkness, funny thing, everything, it's connected with loss of control. You know? It touched me a lot. My kids, 10 years old, they take care about me. Also a matter of transmitting and receiving. As I told you, I was a guy who didn't deserve anything. And I got in contact with this woman. Looking, one day my sponsor said, if you want more, you have got to take a risk. He couldn't hear it anymore. And then I got married. I don't know if this was the message, what was transmitted to me anyway. And there's another saying, if you think you are recovered, in Germany I start a relationship. I added to it, if you still think you are recovered, get kids. I got one. What I wanted to say was not deserving anything. I shouldn't multiply. It is really serious. You laugh, but for me was it really a hard thing in my first, how old I was, 4 years or something like that, when we got in contact. My son is 13, so I was, six, something like that. And I needed minimum 2 years of third step prayer and stuff like this. Let me know you will guide me in my recovery. Show me what you will. And someday, maybe it might work. Not, I want to be a good father and I will be and stuff like this. Just can be, might be okay. And so we got a son. And then we got a second. And we got double luck, we got twins. I never forget in the supermarket with a trolley or how do you say it anyway, you know what I mean. And someone coming around the supermarket, double luck, and I could kill her. But anyway, I'm clean, I love them, and you saw, I get tears in my eyes when we were in SeaWorld in this helicopter thing, and there was this little seatbelt. And the seatbelt was so strong, I couldn't move. And I get physical reaction. My task is, as it was told to me here, the way through the fear, you know. It's the same in therapy. I don't hear nothing new. It's new in another way. Oops. But it's almost the same. It's very funny. But it helps me. So I go wherever I can, go through it. But I heard me saying, ma'am, I just was about to say, can I get out here before the doors close? And one daughter took my hand. It's not that worse, he said. One voice said, of course it's not. But this, it's from 1,000 years ago, this fear. Really, it's a really deep animal, kind of animal fear. And I said, completely different, nothing intellectual. No. Anyway, how much do I got? Give me my paper. as a sponsor, I got, of course, my sponsor has to say, Lutz, you called me. Means, no, shut up. The same problem as a sponsor. I sponsor a few people, really to listen that their problems are their real problems right now. Even if they had it for the whatever time, it's real for them. Not giving advices, just to share. I think I do a good job right now. I don't know what you get here, but I'm honest. And this is my job today. When I came to NA, I was a liar. I had like a double agent, but a very worse one. Not very successful, but no. When I wrote, the first question I got from my sponsor to write about was, write about the influence drugs to your life. And a situation came out when I was maybe 10, 11, 12, 11 maybe. We drank something, I don't know why, it was pain tablets with Coke. Bullshit, anyway. And my grandfather called me from across the street to come over, and I fell down. And even if I didn't knew in the moment, if it was just about the floor or it was about the shit, I didn't even feel anything about it. In this moment, I knew I never let him know this. And this is the first time in my life in connection with drugs that I knew you have to be unhonest. I have to lie. No, even he didn't know about it. No? That started. There all began. And with 14, my parents were my enemies, and you know this stuff, okay. No? And I gave myself this information again and again. No? This was another thing my sponsor meant, maybe, in family. No? If you give me information, or try to give me information, it depends on in what state of mind I am, what I get. No? If I think you are against me, then it's difficult, of course. No? Then I get wrong information. No? I hear the words, but I interpret. No? And this is what happens right now in my relationship often. No? I'm thinking, I'm interpreting, and I don't let it stay as it is, as it was said. And then there's no connection. I can't get an information if I'm convinced of whatever. So this open-mindedness, willingness, the things we hear again and again, this is very important for me to get the information, to get any information. Yeah. And I think that's it before I start looking for words to fill the time. I'm very grateful you came later and later, and I only looked at the first six rows, and now I see the room is almost filled up. And it was great for me. I'm honored to be invited and about transmitting and receiving to faith. You know it all. I don't know if there are newcomers. I said it, I'm 21 years clean. This works. No? This really works. And the life gets better, definitely. No? But as I said, it doesn't mean the loss of problems, difficulties, or anything in any ways and means. Thank you for listening to me. Have a good day.
Thanks, Luke, for filling up the room for our next speaker. I'd like to introduce to you Oma from Florida.
I'm an addict. My name is Oma. I'm grateful to be here. Definitely grateful to be alive. Thanks so much, Lutz. That was great. I was thinking a lot about communication and how communication has woven itself through my recovery and how I got to recovery. I got to recovery on March 28, 1988. Because I communicated to somebody that I was scared. For the first time after I lived in New York and Manhattan, and after living on the streets for a couple of years, I actually was afraid. And I called my younger brother who had experience in recovery, and I said, I need to get out of New York. Of course, I thought escape from New York, that would do it. But just for a moment, I had the courage to pick up the phone, to communicate. And he was on the other end of the phone, and he drove to New York with another addict and 12-stepped me and brought me to the area I got clean in, a small area, the Dulles Corridor area in the Northern Virginia area. I'm also in a small area now, and I'll tell you, you talk about change and communication. Communication has been an incredible part. When I came into my first meeting, it was incredible. You guys like had these smiles. It was incredible because I had been isolated for so long. I hadn't communicated. I had been trapped in a closet, like an animal, and isolated myself. It had been a long time since I'd really communicated anything other than getting and using, finding ways and means to get more. So when I actually went into treatment, I remember the intake person said, the only way you're going to make it is to be able to follow directions. And it was just like, tell me what I have to do, you know. And just for a moment, I felt like I could follow directions. That sounded and seemed pretty easy. But when I got into these, also in treatment, it was amazing. There were people that didn't want to be there, and I'd never been to treatment before, so I didn't know a lot about it, but I wanted to be there. I mean, I actually raised my hand, and you guys, you know, at my first meeting, and you guys listened to me. You wanted to hear what I had to say, and it was exhilarating. It was exciting. And then you couldn't shut me up. But that's okay, because I have regained my voice, finding my authentic self. That's been the journey of communication. You guys said, share it every meeting. So guess what? I shared it every meeting, and then you all said, it's okay to listen. Please. And Oma, you don't have to share first. I'm like, yes, I do. Because otherwise I'll sit in the meeting and listen, you know, think about what I'm going to say and all. And communication really is a two-way street. It is opening my mind and my heart up enough to hear you. Shut the voices down just enough to be able to hear you. What an incredible thing, though. When I came into meetings, you guys said things like, get a sponsor. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. And I had to communicate with somebody and ask them to be my sponsor. And I did. Whatever you guys told me that I had to do, I was willing to do it, because you guys had something here. There was something going on in the meetings. It was, it's a spirit. It's life. It's kind of what I'd always been looking for in drugs, kind of like pals, people to hang out with, people that care, people that were on a spiritual journey. I mean, back in the hallucinogenic days, it was like, you know. But I came here, and you guys talked about staying clean, being clean off of everything. Of course, I wasn't sure that was at all possible. So guess what? You all said you were clean. I followed you. You went to the meeting after the meeting, the coffee. I followed you. And that was before telephones. But, boy, I'll tell you, I didn't have a car either, so I had to communicate and call people and ask them for rides. And, of course, people have jobs, but I'd call you. Okay, you said you'd give me a ride. I just want to make sure that you're not going to forget. You know, and then they'd get home. Hi, I'm just calling to make sure you're going to pick me up. And you always did. And, you know, you love me. But communication has just been how I've been able to let you know. You told me to share how I felt, okay? So, of course, I shared everything. And y'all told me I didn't have to do my fourth step at a meeting. That's what a sponsor is for. And I'm like, but y'all said to be honest and to share. So it's been a journey. It continues to be a journey. I love Narcotics Anonymous. If nothing else, what I really want to say today is that Narcotics Anonymous works. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I have a life. I have, I like myself. I care about myself. I care about other people. And I got that through having risks, walking through that fear. Thank you so much, Lutz, for reminding me. This is a walk through the fear, walk through, just do it anyway. I remember the first, early on in recovery, I would share, I don't feel a part of, you know. And people were like, well, if you want to feel a part of, be a part of, you know, participate, clean up ashtrays. Back then when you could smoke at meetings, not that I'm glad we don't do that anymore, but participate, show up early, stay late, put the literature out. And I don't know about anybody else, but it really helps me to feel a part of, to participate. You know, I put the literature out. I stood the books up. And then, of course, when people come up and move it, you know, it's really annoying. But anyway, I got clean. I stayed clean. I made a decision that no matter what, I was going to stay clean. I know 6 months after I got clean, I found out I was HIV positive. And this was in 1988. I didn't know about HIV or AIDS or what it meant to me. But when that was communicated to me, it was like was one of my first examples of effective communication. I threw up my hands. I said, oh, I guess that means I have AIDS. And no, she explained the difference between HIV and AIDS and what it meant to me. And it really did help me. And I often share about that because it is also what we do in here. You know, how do we stay clean? How do we do this thing? How do we put ourselves out there? How do we recover? How do we stay clean no matter what? And I remember that I wasn't going to tell anybody. Of course, y'all were going to reject me. And, you know, after like a couple of days, I'm like, I felt like I was holding on to some information that I was cheating by not sharing that. And I took a risk and I communicated. I shared that with a trusted friend. And she just loved me. She just loved on me. And after a while, I started sharing it at meetings. And y'all didn't reject me. You didn't reject me. And so that really helped me to continue to put myself out there, continue to share no matter what's going on with me. When you didn't reject me, when I hear other people sharing, you know, stuff happens in recovery, life happens, shit happens, and so when somebody's hurting, and, you know, obviously we go to meetings and we share our stuff, and when I see somebody going through something, I'm able to reach out and say, you know, no matter what, we're not going to reject you here. I know that a lot of communication is also about body language. You know, if I go into a meeting, crossing my arms, you know, stay back, I'm not really going to be open to you approaching me. I know that early in recovery, you guys said, be honest, Oma. And boy, I was honest. And you all told me you don't have to be so brutally honest that we hurt each other in here, you know. So I learned the difference, you know, say what I mean what I say, but don't say it mean. And, I always thought of myself as a nice person, but, you know, some people said they felt intimidated by me. And, just being myself today is really, again, what the journey is really about. You know, as I did stay clean and go to meetings, you said to get that sponsor, be honest. I found that communication and finding out who I was really about was the journey through the steps. And, you know, if you haven't tried the steps, it's a trip. It's really cool. If you really want to know about yourself, you know, I really found out a lot about myself through the steps, and sharing about the steps. I really enjoy going to meetings where I'm going to hear about the steps. I'm going to hear how you did it. And, you know, it's just like before I got here. You know, if I wanted to know how to use the next drug or the next thing, I would ask somebody. I'd have no qualms in asking somebody how to get high. And, you know, I have found that that same courage, I bring that into everyday life. You know, how did you get through it clean? How did you, you know, come to believe in a power greater than you? You know, we have a wealth of experience, strength, and hope in our meetings, and I think sometimes, you know, even I get afraid to ask, you know, ask for help, ask for guidance. So, you know, I got the sponsor, I went to treatment, got out of treatment, got into a transitional housing, and, you know, got my little job. You guys were so patient with me because, you know, I remember early on I had met a gal in recovery, and, you know, she really took a liking to me. She wasn't my sponsor. She was just like a gal pal. And she'd go, call me every day. Let me know what happens, how your day is. And I did. I would call her and go, this is what happened today, blah, 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 blah. This is what happened day after day after day. After a couple of weeks, she said, gee, Oma, did it ever dawn on you to ask me how I'm doing? And it's like, ooh. You know, what is so sad is, no, I hadn't. You know, I thought, well, you said to, you know, tell you how I'm doing. And we learn how to communicate here. I have learned how to grow up just a little bit, how to care about another human being in here. And, well, you can imagine I call her and ask her how she's doing all the time. But the lessons that we learn, you know, it isn't really all about me. It is about us and how we do it. Yeah, I can communicate to you how I feel, but it is the empathy and the heart that we have in here. It's my emotions, being able to share my feelings, my emotions, my insecurities. I heard the Lutz talk about anxiety, and it must happen with age, because I have a lot of anxiety too. I get in a car and I feel like a car is going to get, you know, run into me or something. So it's we really do have the opportunity to continue to work on the things that, I guess, the things that are impacting our life today. So sponsorship has really been an incredible way that I have had to, or, you know, that I get to learn about myself. I actually had to change sponsors at one point, and by this time, I guess I had 5 years clean or so. And I came up with a great idea. I was going to interview. So I had my interview questions. You know, of course, in my area, it was a little area. There weren't any people that I thought I wanted to ask to sponsor me. So I went outside of my area, and I had my little list of 10 questions. And, you know, I didn't think of them as interview questions, but certainly, you know, when did you get clean? You know, I was looking for somebody that was like-minded, you know, similar age, somebody who had a higher power, somebody, something other than a doorknob. Do you still go to meetings? Do you do service work? How many meetings a day do you go, or week do you go to? And looking for somebody that had experience with long-term relationship, because I was getting married, or had just gotten married, so that was something that was really important to me. So I'll tell you, if anybody's looking for a sponsor, the interview process went great. It was actually between two ladies, and I met both, and the one lady had the same color outfit on, a blue shirt and black shorts, and of course I was sure God was telling me this is it. We're crazy. Anyway, I turned out not to ask her. She had a guy for a sponsor, and it was a long-distance relationship. Now, I don't have a guy for a sponsor, but I do have a long-distance relationship now with my sponsor, and it was just, but, you know, communication is how I am able to be honest with my sponsor and be able to keep tabs on my relationships and my interactions and where I'm at in recovery. Because I do have a long-distance relationship, it is vital that I tell on myself, you know, I want help on the issues that I'm working on. You know, that doesn't mean that I agree with everything she says. I'm like, oh, bitch, but I do it anyway, you know. I want more. I want to keep getting better. I want what she has. She's calm, quiet, lovely, and, you know, and that's, she's got what I want, and therefore I continue to work with that relationship. I know with sponsees, it's another way that I communicate. Getting back to my sponsor, actually, and communication, I know that I'm a big talker. Talk, 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 talk. And my sponsor has this thing where if I interrupt her, she stops talking. Oh, my God. It's really humiliating. It's really humbling. So what I have to do is I put out a thing, I'll say something, and I literally have to put my hand on my mouth, and I'll tell you, it works. It really does, because I'm calling to get some experience, strength, and hope. I'm calling her to get her input, her guidance, and if I'm so busy talking, you know, I'm not going to get it. So this works. And I do that with my sponsees. I listen from the heart. I do that in my relationships with people. I listen to what they're really saying, you know, not preparing how I'm going to answer it all the time. I mean, that's what I'm working on, not just telling them what, A, they want to hear, B, what I think, you know, is the right thing for them to do. Again, we share our experience, strength, and hope. But listening is just such a big, big part. I don't know about anybody else, but my husband does a really good job at listening. And so I learn from, we learn from each other in here. The same thing about relapse. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but the first time somebody relapsed, I went running to my sponsor. Oh, my God, you know, I'm so afraid. And they came back to meetings, and I don't know what to do. And she said, Oma, and I still do this today. She said, you go up to that person, and you wrap your arms around them. You give them a hug. You tell them welcome. You tell them welcome back, welcome home. And you ask them. When nobody else is around, you know, we don't want to humiliate people, but you ask them what happened, okay? That is one of the things that I have communicated, that I have utilized, and that I still utilize. Because as I've stayed clean, we have people with 10, 15, 20 years who have relapsed and come back, and how we treat them is really, really important. How we don't judge is really, really important. But again, the things that I did find out are, you know, oh, I stopped going to meetings. I stopped calling my sponsor. I stopped being honest about wanting to use. Yeah, such and such amount of clean time I shouldn't want to use. Whatever it is, excuse the expression, I take notes. I make notes of that. I am really... I want to stay clean no matter what. So certainly keeping in mind that how we treat each other. Judgment. I had dinner with my sponsor last night, judging each other. I know I talked a little bit about if I go into meetings with my arms folded and a growl on my face, you know, I'm going to communicate to you what? Don't approach me. And, you know, my sponsor said, yeah, well, how about that person that does that? That isn't being mean or harsh. Maybe they're fearful. And, you know, recently I've had the opportunity, like I mentioned, moving to a new area. sponsoring very differently. The first 15 years of my recovery, I lived in one area. I sponsored the same. You call me every day. We do the same steps. We, you know, meet as a group. The way we I did steps was the same way, and kind of the same way I sponsored everybody. When I moved to this new area, and you talk about communication, I showed up in the Concord Public area in the Florida Keys when I had 15 years clean, and, you know, it's an area that people come and go, so the community is a little more reserved. It isn't like, oh, hi, Elmer, we're so glad to see you. It's like, okay, another person, another new person in the meeting, they'll probably only be here for whatever, months, maybe a couple years, and then move on, because apparently that's what people do in the Keys. And they were very, very reserved, so, you know, I had to, you know, and in my home area, everybody knew how I got to be who I was. You know, they saw me grow. They saw me change. They saw me become a lady. You guys taught me how to be a lady, how to be a neighbor, how to be a daughter, how to be a sister, you know, and how to communicate with my neighbors, how to be a productive member of society. Narcotics Anonymous is not the only society that I interact with, you know. So if I'm out in the community and I have my NA shirt on and I'm cussing and carrying on and acting like a jerk, what kind of message are we communicating to our community about Narcotics Anonymous? You know, so I really want to, you know, I'm really careful about that. You know, if I have a bumper sticker, NA bumper sticker on my car, and I'm swerving, driving like a maniac, flipping people off and all that, you know, that's not sending the message that I want to send today. So, but again, the most important thing about communication and how I communicate is just being able to be honest, be myself, put myself out there, and continue on in this journey. The emotions that I have are not always, or how I portray myself is not always how I feel. So, you know, and getting back to the judgment part, I need to be really careful at how I think you are. You know, am I perceiving you by coming up and asking you, how are you? And actually sitting there and listening, you know, if I call you and say how you're doing and you go on, and I'm like, I don't really want to hear this. You know, I'm not being an effective communicator. Recently now with the telephones, people that know me in my area, you know. I mean, I used to have when the first phone first came out, Alan Jay, I know he's here. I used to have this phone, and he used to make fun of me because it was so big. But, you know, I'm always on the phone, always on the phone. But, you know, how am I doing when I'm talking with you? Am I looking at you? When you're sharing at a meeting, you know, am I sitting there talking to my friends? You know, filing my nails, whatever. Am I off in space? My first sponsor told me when somebody shares, give them the respect. You know, so I actually literally turn my chair to where somebody is, and I look at them, and I, you know, I would say pretend to listen, but I do. I listen, because what we have to say is important here. I know when I'm sharing, I want everybody to listen. Not that what I'm sharing is any more important than anybody else, but so again, body language is a big deal, but I can't judge how somebody's doing unless I communicate with them, unless I ask them, how are you doing today, and listen to what's going on. The thing I was thinking about with the telephone is recently now with the texting, I've realized that I go up and start talking to people, or they start talking to me, and I'm still in the middle of a text. Guess what? I'm not giving them my full undivided attention. I was just noticing that with somebody. Imagine that. Didn't notice it with myself, but I noticed it with somebody else. They were like this up and down with the eyes, and I'm like, oh, my God, I know I do that. So Darn it. And now that I've put it out there, I'm challenging you all to, if you see me, and that's the other thing. And when I really put stuff out there at a meeting, you know, I am asking for help. You know, I have to have the courage to be able to put myself out there and say, hey, this is what's going on with me. These are the defects that I'm working on. These are the areas that I'm working on. So if you see me, challenge me, ask me about it. That's how I get better, you know, by telling the truth. Communication through the sponsees, actually listening to what's going on with them. I know with my sponsor, the moment I start saying, well, he said, she said, you know what, she stops me right there and says, okay, Oma, how does this relate to you? I'm like, well, you don't understand. First I have to tell you, la, 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 la. And she's like, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the drama. Anyway, but I'm glad that she does, because then I can get to the exact nature. What is the exact nature? What's really going on? Am I angry? Am I fearful? Am I judging? You know, and maybe it's none of my business. So I'm also learning about that. So the way I communicate and the way I listen to my sponsees is really important. What they're saying is important to them. I heard that said earlier today, and it is. I don't just put the uh-huh tape on, you know. I don't know if anybody knows about that, but you can check with me later. The sponsorship uh-huh tape. We're putting our lives and our hearts and our souls into each other here. Let's take it seriously. Recovery is a journey through self-exploration, finding out who we are, coming to a spiritual awareness, and then hopefully a spiritual awakening. And just in case anybody didn't know, this really is a spiritual program, and there is a lot of God stuff, and, you know, they didn't tell me that in the beginning, or at least I read it, but I didn't, you know, what it was all about. But it's a trip. It's exciting. Recovery is a blast. I've been able, like I said, to find my voice and feel like I actually care about myself, reconnect with the relationships with my family. I did get married in recovery. He's also in recovery. Recently, I've been going through some stuff where communication has become an issue. And he's been letting me know about an area that he wanted us to work on. It first started out with everybody and everything else is more important than me. And even though my sponsor had me doing tasks like, you know, not talking on the phone as much, putting him a priority, you know, I've been struggling. It's definitely taken its toll on. We were friends for many years before we got in a relationship. Right now, we've made a decision to live separately. I've been married 17 years, we've been going together for 20. We both have a recovery program, but we did make the decision to live separately, and that's the other thing. People hear that we are separated, and they're like, oh, I guess you're getting a divorce. No, separation means just that. We don't know what we're doing. We are made a decision to work on ourselves separately. We had tried everything else, outside help, working with our sponsors, working on ourselves together in the relationship, and now we're going one more step, working on ourselves separately. And, you know, and it's really hard because people think that they know what that means. I don't even know what it means. So, I don't know. That's really where I'm at. First Addict talked about letting you know where we're at today. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm grateful to be here at the World Convention. I've been to quite a few, and I love them. I love hooking up with my friends. I love the international. We are a worldwide fellowship. Staying clean! We are no longer relegated to just the basement. look at this convention center. There's so many people. I know that one of the things that my sponsor told me to do early on in going to different conventions is make sure that you don't just hang around the people that you came with. Go up to people you don't know. Give them a hug. Spend 5 minutes. Any kind of new recovery, any kind of pearl of wisdom, any kind of spiritual nugget that I can get from somebody and bring it back to my home group, yay! That's what we're doing here. Let's make sure that no matter what, when you go out there after this meeting or after the meeting, please hug somebody, find out where they're from. Just find out something about them. Ask them something exciting about recovery. Take that back to your home group. I know that that's going to be one of the things that I'm going to take again from this World Convention. I'm too kind of getting kind of glossed over. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love what we have here, the language of the heart, communicating, being able to put myself out there, transmitting information that goes to the heart, receiving it, and thank you so much.
All right, I'd like to thank Lutz and Oma again for sharing. I've asked Michael from San Diego to come up and read We Do Recover.
I'm an addict named Mike. We do recover. When at the end of the road we find we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative, either go on the best we can to better ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in men's entire history, a simple way has been proven itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.